Thank God for the reading of His precious truth concerning the greatest event in human history, the rapture of the church. The Bible gives to us three judgments that describes the crisis experience of every man, and each one is characterized by separation. Spiritual death, physical death, and the second death. For mankind, death is an inevitable experience. 10 out of 10, all must die. No exception. There is a time to be born and a time to die. Death is a deep mystery to men. Unless God reveals the truth to us, we cannot understand the meaning of death. Spiritual death. That is what the Bible described for us as separation from God. Spiritual death is the experience of all men after the fall of Adam. Paul wrote it this way in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. He says that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Before we were made alive spiritually, we were spiritually dead. We live in this three-dimensional body, only with a physical existence. But at some point in time, God broke that barrier through Jesus Christ. And Paul says we were made alive, or we were quickened. We were given spiritual life. Whereas in time past, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, we put that old conversation, that old life, in the past, in the fulfilling of the lust of the flesh. We were once the children of wrath. In spiritual death, separated from God. This is the first death that the Bible described for us. And the second death is physical death. Physical death is the dissolution of the human body. The temporary separation between the body and the soul. Physical death is the experience of all mankind, except two persons in human history, Enoch and Elijah, and Christians who live in the time of the rapture. They will also not experience physical death. And we are speaking about the rapture here in this topic. That we are living in that generation whereby we may not experience physical death, but we may pass from physical life to eternal life at the rapture. And so we are living really very momentous, very special time. We could be that generation. James says that the body without the spirit is dead. Indeed, when death strikes, death is a distinct crisis in human existence, because is marked by the cessation of life in the body. As Genesis 3:19 says, concerning the curse that God placed upon planet Earth. Why this world is degenerating in the way it is. It is because of sin and the fall of men. Genesis 3:19 says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Solomon said the same thing concerning human life. He says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. And Paul describes that dissolution of the physical body. In 2 Corinthians 5:1, he says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," right, the day is coming when, you know, this body that we have will no longer be functioning. Right? "We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So man consists of two parts, the body and the soul. And at death, for the Christian, the body is consigned to the ground and the soul is brought to heaven in the arms of Jesus. And so we want us to understand that there are four steps in physical death: separation of the body and the soul, the deadness of the body. Right, you go to a funeral, you'll be able to see that the dead is lifeless. Right? You can see the deadness of a dead man. The dissolution of the body, when a person is consigned to be buried in the ground, how the body decomposes so quickly. Right? And you can smell the decomposition, because life has departed from that body. And then it returns to the elements. And so God wants us to understand concerning the truth about our existence: spiritual death, physical death, and on the metaphysical side, physical death introduces also the soul into a state, a new state of conscious existence that is intermediate between death and the resurrection. So when you die as a Christian, right, we bury our dead, and you know, as the bodies are consigned on the ground, right, they're all looking upwards. What are they waiting for? They are looking for the time when the Lord will return again. Alright, when the Lord returns, and then, you know, there will be a change. The body and the soul will come together. But in the meantime, all who die in Christ, the body and the soul is separated. Okay? This was the experience that was described by our Lord Himself of the rich man and the beggar Lazarus. Remember, the rich man did not know God, and when he died, Luke 16 verse 19 says that he found himself in hell, the torments of hell, and he has memory of his past, and he could experience agony in his soul, the torments of the fire of hell. It was unceasing great agony. And he told Lazarus, "Can you give me some water to cool my tongue? For it is so unbearable in hell fire." Now, the Lord wants us to understand that hell is a real place. It's a place of judgment. When Christ returns again, you will see He set in order concerning the judgment that is to come upon the human race, mankind. And then the Lord tells us there is also the second death. Right? The spiritual death, the physical death. And then there is the second death. What is the second death? The second death will be experienced only by the finally unsaved, when the unsaved are consigned for eternity in the lake of fire. The second death is for the unsaved and is the final and permanent state involving irrevocable continuance of spiritual death and physical death. That's the second death that is described in the Bible. Therefore, there is the saying of old that he that is born twice will die once. Right? You are born twice. Physical life and spiritual life. You will die once. You will die that physical death, but you will not die the second death. Right? The second death is a consignment to the lake of fire for eternity. But he that is born once, only with physical life, without spiritual life, that is one that is spiritually dead, will die twice. The physical death and the eternal death, or the second death. They will not experience the resurrection. And the Bible tells us that there is an event coming in the future that will change the course of human existence. And God chose to reveal this to the Apostle Paul, the mystery of the church age. And that is the third R, the rapture, which we have read in our text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 58, and Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. In the church in Thessalonica and Corinth, when the loved ones of believers begin to die, the believers were filled with questions. They were asking the apostle, what will happen to our loved ones who died before the Lord returns? Would this be left behind at the resurrection? Because in the Old Testament, the Bible does prophesy of the resurrection of the dead. Right? Who is it for? What is it all about? And what will happen to those who are alive when Christ returns? Do they receive the resurrection bodies now, at that time, or later? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13 gives to us the answer. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. The word asleep is the term that Paul uses to explain what happens to a Christian body when his spirit has left him at death. When the spirit goes to heaven and the body is consigned to the ground, Paul describes the Christian who is in that state of physical death as being asleep. He said in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And so Paul was given special revelation concerning what will happen to us in the future to come. And he uses the term sleep to refer to the physical body of a Christian. When a person dies, he is asleep. And so verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, "For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before them which are asleep." So he tells us that a time is coming when those who are alive, at the time when the Lord would return, would come again, they shall not go before those which are asleep. Verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel," the archangel will come signaling the rapture. "And with the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first." Notice the sequence. "And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together." That is the word that we use to describe the rapture. "And we would be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." You notice that there is a sequence of four steps at the rapture, which the Apostle Paul would explain to us. Christ will descend from heaven. This is the first thing. At the rapture, the Lord Jesus Christ will appear to his followers, not on earth, but in the air. Right? Verse 17 tells us, "We would meet the Lord in the air." Right? At the rapture, Christ appears in the air without setting foot on the earth. And the Lord wants us to understand this eschatological complex, to understand this phenomena of events that would occur in the last days. You know, if you were to look at something, right, you look at this stage, if you look at from there, you would only be able to see, you know, one small piece of platform, right? But if you were to look at it from where you are, you would be able to see the length of it. When we look at the second coming of Christ, there are several events that is taking place, right? And the Lord wants us to be able to understand the events that would come. And so, if you are looking in time, right, from that perspective, you would not be able to see all of it. There are two separate events that describes the coming of the Lord. One, he would come mid-air, and the other, as what is described in Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, when Jesus was ascended to heaven, the angel came and told the disciples that this Jesus that has ascended to heaven will come in like manner upon earth, upon the Mount of Olives. And so the Lord wants us to know that this rapture event is different from the time of his second coming, when he would come physically upon earth. Zechariah chapter 14 verse 4 says, describe that event, which we will see later. It says here, I just give you a little heads up. Right? It says here in Zechariah 14:4, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a great valley, and half the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half of it toward the south. The Holy Land geography is going to change at the second coming of the Lord, right? When Christ would come physically upon earth. And that's described for us in Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. And while they looked, the disciples looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, two angels, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And so there are two events that the Lord wants us to understand concerning his coming: the rapture and his second coming upon the earth. And now we are describing the rapture. All right? Christ will descend from heaven. This is the first step. And secondly, as our text tells us in verse 16, right at the end, the dead in Christ will be resurrected. This second step in the rapture is the resurrection of the physical bodies of the dead in Christ. That means we are going to be given a new body. This body that we have, we know, no use. All of us, you know, would experience the decaying of the body. None of us can escape. No exception. We would experience physical weakness as the days go by, sooner or later. Alright? But the Lord says that a time will come when the dead in Christ will be made alive again, will be resurrected. When we die, as we said, our spirit goes immediately into the presence of Christ. But our body is left behind, just as the body of Christ remained in the tomb for 3 days. Right? On Friday, 3 p.m., and after he died, right, what happens? The disciples came, they took the body, and they buried the body. Friday, Saturday, and on Sunday, early in the morning, what happens when Mary Magdalene went to the garden tomb? Well, she saw the angel. Right? The angels removed the stone. And when she went in, well, she saw an empty tomb. The angel who was there testified to her, he is not here, for he is risen. And so the Lord wants us to understand that there is that second step. When the trumpet of God sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first. As Christ was resurrected from the dead, so will we be resurrected. The graves will be open, and the bodies of believers will rise toward heaven. This was what happened during the time of the death of Christ. It was a phenomenon that took place. But this man died again. But here, we are describing an event whereby the dead in Christ will rise and will not die again. The Apostle Paul says the graves will be opened and the bodies of believers will rise toward heaven. And the Apostle Paul give comfort to those Thessalonians who have lost loved ones by saying to them that death is not as final as it seemed. That separation between you and your loved one is not a final separation. You will see them again. Your loved ones have not missed out on the coming of the Lord. In fact, they will be the first to receive their glorified bodies. They would be given a brand new body, like the resurrected body of Christ that the disciples and 500 saw 40 days after Christ's resurrection, before his ascension. And then Christ will descend from heaven, the dead in Christ will be resurrected, and all living Christians will be caught up. The Bible says, verse 17, and then we which are alive and remain in shall be caught up together. Right, that's the word that means to be snatched or seized and taken away. There would be a special force that caused us to be propelled like a trajectory into heaven to meet the Lord. This means that there will be a generation of Christians who will never experience death. Their entire being, the body and soul, will suddenly be caught up from the earth, just like Enoch. You remember? The Bible says that he walked with God and he was not, for he was translated. The Lord took him to heaven bodily. He did not see physical death. The other man was Elijah. Right? Elijah was taken up to heaven by a whirlwind, a chariot of fire, brought to heaven without seeing physical death. So you see that Christ will descend from heaven at the rapture. The dead in Christ will be resurrected. And then all those who are alive and remaining, the living Christians, the church, the bride of Christ, the body of believers, the true church, will be glorified, will be removed, transported to heaven. And then fourthly, our bodies will be transformed. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 54. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The time is coming when God will give to us a different body, a glorified body. And this glorified body, the Bible described to us, is incorruptible. We will put on immortality. No more sin, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death. We are restored to the image of God. Remember, this was where we left off last year at our camp. We said there was a final reward, and it was described to us concerning the glorified body. So we saw in 1 Thessalonians 4 that not every Christian will die, will sleep. Those Christians who are alive at the rapture will not taste death. Instead, they will be snatched away into heaven. But every Christian who die in the Lord will experience a transformation of his mortal body into an immortal body. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. At the rapture, our bodies, as well as the bodies of those who have already died, will be instantly, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, in a split second, right, transform into the type of body that Jesus possessed after his resurrection. In many ways, these new bodies will be superior to our present bodies. But in many ways also, it is similar to our present bodies. God will give to us a change. And that is the culminating event of human history that will change the entire landscape of human events. And then after that, judgment will fall upon planet Earth like never before. 7 years of great tribulation will come upon planet Earth. But the church will escape from the wrath to come. And the Lord wants us to understand and know and see the signs of the times, that we are living in momentous times. The Lord can come anytime, and we shall be changed. And this is a truth of Scripture that must cause us to evaluate and consider our lives' perspective concerning what we would do for our lives. The Lord wants us to think and understand. Right? Tonight we shall be speaking about what we ought to do. The Christian's reward, the fourth P. May the Lord help us to understand and have a perspective of spiritual life, and understand that there is also such a thing as a spiritual death and judgment. We thank God that He has allowed us to escape the judgment to come in Jesus Christ. So may God help us to understand the great privileged position that we are in, why we are called a people of hope, why we ought to be living as a people full of hope because of what the Lord will do and is doing for us. I close with a verse in Romans chapter 15, if you were to turn there. Romans chapter 15. And this is the benediction that the Apostle Paul gave to the church. Verse 13 of Romans chapter 15. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Believing what? Believing what God will do for you in the time to come, that ye may abound in hope. You know, our body is not going to remain corruptible. It's not going to deteriorate without recourse. But there is a reconstruction that is to come through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Lord will not leave you comfortless. But the Lord says, I will come to you. I will receive you. I will remake you. My spirit that is in you will comfort you, will strengthen you. May the Lord help us to realize what a privileged people we are in the sight of God. How we are so treasured by God. We are the apple of His eye. Each one of us. And when we realize it, then we ought to be a people abounding in hope. Because we have a glorious future that He has planned for us. And He has opened it all to us in the Scripture. May the Lord help us to understand the truth. And may the truth set us free. Free from anxieties, free from fear, free from doubt. But He may fill us with faith. He may fill us with hope. He may fill us with peace. He may fill us with joy in its fullness. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for teaching us from Thy word the meaning of the rapture. Lord, may Thou help us to understand well Thy truth. And may we be prepared as we see the nearness of Thy return, the imminence of Thy coming. O Lord, may Thou help Thy people to be watching and ready, just like Noah did before the flood. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.